This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Vaginas are absolute magic, and Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, hey, you guys, you are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Glowacki. I am the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. Today, I am conversing with Melissa Marcus. She goes by the Kindergarten Mom.
That's right.
On Instagram. And she kept sharing me in her stories. And I contacted her and I was like, well, dude, you're like my biggest fan right now. I said, why not? She was giving such great tips in her stories about potty training that I said, why don't you come on my podcast? So welcome, Melissa. Why don't you introduce yourself and let us know a bit about you?
Yeah. So thanks for having me. So my name is Melissa Marcus. I am a teacher and a mom of two, and I've been teaching in the public school board for over 10 years now. I have a master's in child study and education, child development. My focus is really on kindergarten and special education and the arts. And I started the Kindergarten Mom last summer when my son was going to kindergarten. I just realized there wasn't a lot of information out there for parents. And my account is really to help parents with things that they might not know if they're not teachers themselves. And so I did this kindergarten crash course. I do it in the summertime for parents and caregivers to just give them all of the insight that they need to know, programming, routines, what the classroom looks like, and toilet training. Because really in kindergarten in Canada, where I'm from, children are required to be able to be potty trained completely using the toilet by themselves, no assistance whatsoever.
But let's stop right there and define, because here in the States, kindergarten is usually five or six. So it sounds different in Canada. So what are the ages? How does your kindergarten work?
Yeah. So we have junior kindergarten and senior kindergarten. It is not required, but most people send their children to kindergarten in Canada. And your child has to be 4 years old by December. So we have three-year-olds coming in to school, full day kindergarten, and some of them are in before and after care. And they're young. They're 3 years old. And so some of these children come in and they can use the toilet independently. But then when it comes to pooing and wiping, that's a whole, as you know, obviously, you're the expert. It's a whole other shitstorm.
So your junior kindergarten, just for anybody listening, is more like our preschool in the States. So preschool in the States would be three, and they have to be three. And then it's four, four and a half, and sometimes even into five, depending on if you're redshirting and how that goes. So just so you guys know, when she says kindergarten, we're not talking about the States kindergarten.
Right. We're talking about Canada. And in Canada, it's a two-year program. So JK and SK, junior and senior kindergarten, and it's integrated. So both grades, both levels, both ages are together.
Okay.
So we have kids coming in that are three, kids coming in that are four.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know, because even in the States, at most preschools at three, they have to be fully potty trained.
Right, right. Even here too. But for sure, for school, they need to be potty trained, unless there's, of course, any circumstances that will not allow that to happen. And of course, there's alternate arrangements, but for most children, typically developing children, they have to be toilet trained.
Sure.
Yeah, so I found you. My son, who's five now, I potty trained him at around 2.5. And my cousin told me about the Oh Crap book. She said, you have to read this book. This will help you do, you know, toilet train him. And so I knew nothing about it. Once I read the book, it was a super easy read. It was like you were in my ear telling me step by step how to help him. And the moment I started reading your book, and I started talking to my friends and family about it, everyone knew who you were. It's like, you're the unsaid guru that no one talks about until you're actually in it. So literally every person I spoke to saying, oh, I'm toilet training Sammy, my son, I'm doing the oh crap method by Jamie. And oh yeah, yeah, I did that. Oh yeah, it's great. It'll be super easy. Just go through
the You're process. Like, why yeah. didn't you tell me?
Yeah. So that's why on my account, I just poly trained my daughter Goldie. She just turned 2 in March and I started doing it. And everything I do with Sammy, I just started putting online on my account just to help people that are going through it the first time, because it is even the second time. It's, in my opinion, it's terrible.
It's a shitty milestone. Any way you slice it, like I try to tell people that it's like once in a while you get a unicorn, but it's like, it's not the most pleasant milestone, but it's got to get done, you know? So
it's exhausting, but it has to get done. And just to give parents that comfort that it's okay that you're going through its ups and downs.
Yeah.
It's not like a one track process. So anyways, that's where I found you 3 years ago. And I'm like a huge supporter of your method and everything you do. So
thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk about your daughter. How is it going? How was the process maybe different from your son?
Yeah. So my son was premature, actually. He was 6 weeks premature. And I, even though I probably trained him at around 2.5, I found he was a little bit delayed verbally telling me how he was feeling. He was very verbal, but he wouldn't be able to tell me I'm feeling this certain way. Whereas my daughter, and I don't know if that's a gender thing, which people can come at me for that, but she was very, very intuitive. Like she'll tell me if her tummy hurts. She'll tell me if she has a boo-boo. She'll really tell me how she feels. So she was actually using the toilet at her preschool before she turned 2. It's readily available for them. And she would just always go in the toilet. She'd pee a couple of times, but she's still in diapers. It was not consistent. And then I had her home for the summertime for a week. And I said, no, it's now or never. My son's at camp. I'm home with her. Let's just get this done, the two of us. I know it's not a 3-day process, but I know I need to take the time one-on-one with her.
You said a key phrase there. So she was in preschool, which is younger, guys, than our state's preschool. She was using the potty sometimes, still in a diaper, but it wasn't consistent. So I just want to highlight that to say this happens a lot with parents. Well, she's not being consistent. Well, the adults in the room aren't being consistent, right? The diaper was on, so she was peeing sometimes. So a lot of times parents expect the child to get consistent before they start potty training. And they're like, well, she's not doing it. And it's like, well, no, we have to lead the process.
And I love what you said in your book, how you're like, you're not sort of pregnant. You're not sort of potty trained.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, she's sort of potty trained. I'm like,
Yeah. So that's really like the mentality. It's like, I had to rip the Band-Aid off. I know she could do it sometimes, but really it's so confusing for them to be in diapers and then use the toilet. And so I just want to, you know, rip that Band-Aid off and do it with her. Beginning was great. A couple of, you know, it's funny because you have to keep your eye as, of course, I'm saying everything that you have taught me, but
it can be repeated. It can be repeated.
But like you watch them like a hawk, and that's really, my daughter's super independent. So if she's playing, I can leave her play independently while I do something. But when you're toilet training, you're not, you're constantly watching them to look for their cues. So it's funny because I had her naked, like you say, the first part of that process is completely naked. And my son was fine with that. My daughter was not. She was like, I want a shirt. I want a nighty. She wanted something to give her that comfort because, of course, she's been in a diaper since she was born. And now I've taken that away from that, her, that comfort. And now she's like, I need something, you know? So I put a nightgown on her that she wanted, which is fine.
Yeah. And just so people listening, naked is best because sometimes kids' cues are like, I don't know, they're like elbow moves or like it can be, or they're you can see their stomach gyrating or something. But if your kid is like that, it's perfectly fine to use like a t-shirt, baby leg warmers, just as long as the bottom is bare because, and I have people argue all the time. I had a woman contact me telling me I was barbaric for suggesting her child be bare-bummed. And I was like, I don't know any other way because by the time they pee, they're going to soak through, the bladder's empty and you've missed the learning opportunity. But you can, like you used a nightgown, but you can use something on top as long as you can see and they don't have something against their genitals.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, for sure. So she was wearing a nightgown and we were playing in the basement. You know, because I'm a teacher, I had all these activities ready to go. I didn't want her watching TV and then that being like a passive release or emptying of her bladder. So I had like all these different centers going, we're playing and she, you know, and I was saying to her, do you want to use the toilet? And she, no, she's very stubborn. Like if she doesn't want to go, she's not going to go. Fine. And then she leaves the room. She goes into the hallway and I follow her and there was a drop of pee on the floor, like literally a dime size drop. Like, oh, okay, let's go. You're ready. So I picked her up. And I, okay. people can also be against this, but I, and you're probably against this too, but I can't do the potty. I just, even my son, it's not for me. I have them using the toilet with the toilet seat. So I have a toilet seat in every single washroom of my house. And I know it takes away their independence, and I know it's not the best.
I don't judge it. I just think it's harder. And if that's what you want, then that's what you want. And I do say it does take away their independence. If you don't care, I don't care.
Exactly. It does take away her independence, which it did, but I was okay with that. So I scooped her up, put her on the toilet, and she peed. So of course I give the praise. Oh, you're doing it. That's excellent. You peed in the potty and blah, blah. I also made a potty chart for my son that I used after the method. So I did your whole method, and then I had the potty chart that basically said, I should get it for you after, but it's basically a chart and there's 5 different elements. And if he does one of those elements, he gets a sticker on his chart just to give him that immediate reward, even though using the toilet independently is a reward, but for him, it worked super well with him. So with her, I use the same thing, but for whatever reason, I want to go print it off at Walmart, and she was with me, so she'd seen it. So she was already part of that process, which kind of worked in my advantage because it was the day before. Even though I talked to her days before, saying, you know, you're going to be like mommy and daddy and Sammy, we all use a toilet and you're going to use a toilet too, and giving her that kind of warning and priming. And then doing the chart with her, it kind of gave her that more incentive of, okay, this is happening type thing, not like all of a sudden out of the blue. So basically she received like a reusable sticker on her chart if she sat on the toilet, even if she did nothing on the toilet. That was a sticker. If she peed, she got a sticker. If she pooed, got a sticker. If she washed her hands, got a sticker. My son loved it, was totally into it. After I trained him, I didn't use this while I was training him, it was afterwards. My daughter, after day one, couldn't care less.
Well, that's my thing. So I'm against charts only because parents have the expectation. I think a sticker is fine. It's that immediate thing, right? Like, here's a sticker. That's great. The expectation, though, that at that age that they're going to accumulate. So a lot of parents use the chart. Like, if you stay dry for 7 days, you get a bigger toy or something. And that's developmentally inappropriate. They can't track like, oh, I just have one more day. They don't even track days like that. So I don't like it like that. I also, for like the charts, it's the same thing with rewards. Like, I know half the world uses an M&M to potty train their kid, but nobody tells you about the horror stories when it goes wrong, right? And I have kids who end up in family therapy because like the reward system got out of control. But I always say like, hey, if it's working for you, I'm not here to fix what's broke. You know, what's not broke, like you can do it. But most people come to me and they say, well, it's working sometimes. And that's sometimes pregnant, right? It's like, no, it's not working at all. If it's only working sometimes, your kid's manipulating you. They're like, I feel like having an M&M now. So I guess I'll do the thing you're asking me, right? So yeah. And so like you said, with your daughter, the thing is like, just don't get tied to these tools. If it's not working for your kid, it's just not working. Just ditch it.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like my son, it worked for him because he needed that. Kind of, and it wasn't a reward. It wasn't like he got anything after, but he wanted that kind of satisfaction of like, oh, I see visually that I did this task.
Yeah. Using it afterwards too, is that that's an extending process because I talk about that in the book when the honeymoon is over, right? Like the first couple of weeks, everything's exciting, but now you're toilet trained. Now you got to go do this on your own. So it's just like a chore chart. It's like, oh, I checked it off. Here's my sticker. Yeah, totally.
And also in my chart, I don't have it by days of the week. It's just like a blank 5 or 6 rows, because again, like that can be filled up within how fast, it can be filled up within half a day, or it could take a little bit longer. But anyways, yeah. So she's not interested, perfectly fine. It's in the washroom. She wants to use it. She doesn't care for it. Fine. Doesn't change anything. First day she did pretty well. Like she had a couple of accidents, but she was in the stage of like, I know I'm peeing, stop the peeing and then use the toilet type thing. And then after that, great. Like she actually pooed on the toilet the first day. I was like jumping for joy because I did not expect that. But again, like you said, the honeymoon phase is a real thing. What happens the first, second, third, first week, second week changes. And an example of that is yesterday. I trained her 2 weeks ago, I want to say. Yeah. She was holding in her poo a little bit. She'd poo here and there. And then yesterday we're at the park. And she was like heaved over. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I have to poo. I said, okay. So I like ripped off her pants. She already started pooing. Ripped off her pants. We're on in the park, like on the grassy area. And I'm like squatting with her legs up. And she's pooing. She's getting it out. And I said, like, that's great. You got it out. I mean, it was like a puppy. Like I scooped it up, put it in the garbage. But those things happen. Like, it's not like, okay, they're totally trained and they're going to hold it till they get home. You know, it's they when they have to go, they have to go.
Yeah, that's the thing about potty training is there's no hard finish. You don't like rip the ribbon at the end of the marathon and you're all done. It's like a constant thing. The difference is though, like the focus gets a little more blurred. I call it, it gets woven into the fabric of your life, you know? But a really good point, and this is, I know you don't like a potty, but other people do. This is why you bring a potty, because outside is one of the biggest places for poop accidents, because once a kid gets running around, that stimulates pooping.
So you suggest bring it in the car. Like, that's the thing is, because I was thinking about it too, like if we're on like a long drive or whatnot, I don't really want to put her in a pull up for a drive. So to bring a potty and put that in the trunk or whatnot and just have that, I think that's what I'll do.
And also, like, I love what you did. Like, I would have done the same thing, but there are people out there that probably would have. I mean,
I know, Ram, like, is that illegal?
I don't know, but it's so weird to me because like sometimes I'll see a kid peeing against like a side of a building and like people going by will say something rude. And I'm like, could we give these kids a fucking break? They're like 2 and a half, you know, like they gotta pee now.
I'd rather her poo on the grass like an animal does than have her poo in her clothing or in, you know, in the car. So, I mean, there was no judgment. I don't know if it's illegal or not, but it was fine for us. So yeah. And that's the thing is it's like a roller coaster and what works one day will change the next day. But I'm a huge believer in your method. I've heard people say, oh, well, no, the method doesn't work because then they don't poo at school. My son poos at school perfectly fine. You do you at the end of the day, whatever works for you, do you. But I have done this successfully 2 times now. And really 95% of the people that I know that have totally trained their children have done this method too. And it's been successful. So,
well, I go on this on social media because the whole, like, it didn't work. My book is a curriculum. Every kid is different, right? And I say, like, when you send your kid to school and they come home and they struggle with something, that's it. Kindergarten didn't work. He doesn't know his colors. That's it. It didn't work. I'm not going to bring him there. Right? Like, we teach. And so I think that's the thing is I think people are expecting miracles. And I always say, like, there's so many kids. There's like, I don't know, something like, I forget the number, like 18 million kids in potty training age right now, just in the US. There's not going to be one way to do it, but hopefully my book is a curriculum, a guide that then you can be creative with your own kid. And like you say, you went off track, you know, that against things that I say or don't, but you knew what was going to work for your kid. And that's what I say is like, don't let me, I'm just a person who has a lot of good ideas, but you're the expert of your kid.
Right. And the thing is, like, I hear people saying, oh, you know, I'm toilet training, but they're still in a diaper and then they're peeing in their diaper. And I'm like, no, you're doing it or you're not. And that's the biggest thing that I tell people that are going through right now. I said, just do it. Like I did like a whole reel on 5 tips. And the biggest thing is consistency, like just rip off the Band-Aid and do it. If you're not going to do it, you're not going to receive results right away. And it can be very confusing. And that's the thing also is like, I also loved in your program that you highlight not wearing underwear for, I think you said a month or whatnot. And some people to me are like, what? You're not putting underwear on her or on him? I said, yeah, because it feels like a diaper to them. And that just confuses them even more. And people don't realize that. And that's the thing. It's like, that's why I'm promoting this method because people will say, I've totally trained my daughter months ago and she still wets her underwear or his underwear, which can happen. You can still have accidents. No matter if you're underwear or not, or don't have underwear on, but I think that's also super beneficial.
Accidents are going to happen. Accidents are going to happen, Pierre. I'm 55 years old and I have some accidents sometimes. I sneeze while I'm squatting. You know what I mean? But I think too, that's something I get a lot of pushback from. And I'm like, hey, try it. But the thing about underwear is it's a layer of fabric. If they go without it, it's not like you and I wear my jeans like 5 times before I wash them, right? You don't do that with a toddler. You're washing all their pants that day, you know? That's a sticking point for a lot of parents. I think we've gotten confused and I don't know. I think we're so distracted with so much information online. Your average 3-year-old has been on the planet for like just over 1,000 days.
Right.
Like, think about that. And so we expect this logic, like, it's like quitting smoking, but still smoking. What? You know what I mean? And they've had a diaper on since birth. And so to expect a child to do something different than they've known from birth without any teaching, I feel like is the weirdest thing when people are like, oh, we're potty training in a diaper. Okay. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I do have a couple questions for you from people on my account.
Yeah, for sure.
That we can just go through. So I'll do mine first. So my daughter.
So now Melissa's interviewing me.
Yes. I read your book, but I need help. So my daughter, yes, used the toilet to pee. No issue. She'll tell me, she'll hold it. She'll wait. She'll go fine. Pooing is a different situation. So like we're in the park and she starts to poo, but she already started pooing, or like when she's in the shower with her older brother and then she starts crying. I look and she had pooed. So I'm glad she's getting it out. Ultimately, like I'd rather her poo really than hold it in and have that constipation. But what can you suggest for people who are like me, where it's, you're looking for the cues, but it's just, it's inconsistent.
So pooping is tricky because you get fewer opportunities. Typically a child is more, the cues are bigger than pee because you can tell when they have to poop. The problem too is that like if they're not pooping around the same time during the day, it's tricky. You have to get on with your life. My bigger question would be, this is a huge question. And generally speaking, for all poop questions, I would refer you to my pooping solutions course. It's far too much information to give just like this. But what I would do is I would ascertain, when you look at the last couple of weeks, has she actually pooped in the potty? How many times? So we want to start looking at, there's a version of withholding in which the child is pooping. So they're not like withholding poop. So I get kids who withhold poop for up to 6 weeks. So I get very difficult poop withholding cases. So, but there is a version of withholding in which the child is pooping regularly. But when you start to look at it, you're like, holy shit, they never really, they went maybe once on the potty. So it turns out they're afraid of the release on the potty, not necessarily. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's the first question I would ask is like, well, has she just gotten used to pooping wherever she wants to poop? And she's actually a little afraid of the release on the potty. And in that case, I would go look at the pooping solutions course.
Okay.
And other than that, you know, a lot of times something you can do is, you know, maybe there's like first level fixes. So adding a lot of fat to your diet. I never go to fiber for poop ever, ever, ever. Fiber can be actually backing them up. So I always go to more fat like avocado, extra virgin olive oil, let them eat butter, and that can help. And then like prune juice, pear juice, things like that. And try to get that a little timed. So maybe you have some time in the morning and you're trying to get that poop around a rough time. So you can at least try to stay home. I would try to secure a few poops in the potty before you even leave the house or in the original first couple of days. Because once you get back to real life and the child's not pooping, now you're really stuck. But I would carry the potty chair in the car too. And some of it is just like, when you have that feeling, I have a YouTube video called the Play-Doh trick. So go look at that because it's generally just putting some Play-Doh. If you're watching this, I'm making an anus with my fist.
Yes. My anus.
And you can put some Play-Doh in your hand and kind of squeeze out and say, hey, you're letting me know when the poop is here. I need you to let me know when it's inside, when you have the feeling to go poop. So sometimes too, we tell a child, you know, let me know when you're pooping. Let me know when you have to poop. They let you know as they're pooping. We want to highlight, let me know when you have the feeling to go poop. This is where a potty chair comes in really handy, is I would have it really nearby. Like if it was right outside the shower, it was in the backseat of the car. But the very first thing I would have to ascertain is how many poops have landed in the potty as opposed to pants, other places, that kind of thing. And that would indicate to me a fear of releasing in the potty, and that needs to be worked through.
And then go back to that stage.
And on that note, if your child is pooping, it sounds like your daughter is kind of just pooping wherever, which is actually preferable to pooping in pants. Once your child starts pooping in the pants, it's two times and you've got a new habit. They're going to use the pants as diapers. You've got to stay home. You've got to get my pooping solutions. You've got to get that poop out on the potty because that becomes a habit that is so hard to break. And it happens fast. So once you have one poop in the pants, put on the brakes, stay home, get that poop in the potty. There's just levels of fixing. So yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Next question is, it's a long one. I started leaving my 2-year-old without pull-ups or pants when home, and she's been sitting on the potty more and more. She's gone pee a couple of times, not every time. Sometimes she goes in her pull-up before we get to her. So this person is not being consistent. I always make a big deal and get excited for her when she goes. One thing is she hasn't pooped yet in it. She still does the little hiding and squatting for pooping. So this person, I think, is not being consistent. I think they're letting their child be in diapers, and then the child is going in their diaper, and then it's just too late.
No offense to this person, but you're not potty training. Talk to me when you start potty training. I don't know where the reticence is of taking off the diaper, But oftentimes there's a new parenting phenomena in which we're asking the child to be parented. So the parents aren't stepping up to do the active teaching. Yes? And so it's like, okay, well, I'm just seeing if she'll do it, but she's not doing it. So she's waiting for your cue. She's waiting for you to step up. Listen to me. Pull-ups are diapers. Diapers are made for one thing and one thing only, to hold their pee and poop. They have been in it oftentimes before their first feeding upon birth. Okay, so it's the ultimate security blanket. For you to keep this on them and expect them to just do the thing that you want them to do without you doing any teaching isn't fair to the child. It's also expecting a lot from their little brains. They don't have that brain development. It's like actively engaging in an old behavior, but expecting a very young child to engage in new behavior. And so it's not just about consistency. It's about leading the show. I would say hiding and squatting is, if you have any doubts about quote unquote your child being ready, which I hate that term. There's a whole chapter about that in my book. If you have any doubts, hiding and squatting is the biggest indicator that your child is ready to not have a diaper, because they're hiding that socialized behavior. They don't want you to see them pooping. Yes? So they're going somewhere else, which means they're ready for the socialized behavior of potty training. Not that you have to wait for that. You don't have to wait for that. But once your child is doing that, you need to get on this. The other thing I would say is don't make it a big deal. I'd much rather, when a child pees in the potty, even on that first day, we get very excited as parents, right? Then we get high-pitched. Oh my God, you did it. Oh, this is so great. But then some kids get like perfectionistic about it, and then they don't want to do it again because what if they screw it up? Or I lately have had a lot of kids who won't get off the potty, literally won't get off the potty because they don't want to make a mistake. So it's better to just reflect, hey, you must be really proud of yourself. Wow, that was a lot of pee. You can make these like non-judgmental, non-praisal, just kind of reflecting back to the child, because whatever big deal you're making, she doesn't care. It's not flipping the dial. It's not moving the dial. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to carve the time and take the diapers off. That's my advice. Yeah.
I talk about praise, but it's more of like, we're proud of them, but also they're proud of their accomplishment. They did this.
Right. No, and we have to be careful right now, because after the pandemic, kids' anxiety is through the roof. So we don't want to tip anything over into like this weird zone that would make them more anxious. Just like when they finally sleep through the night, yes, we're like, oh my God, they slept through the night. But you're not like, yay, you slept through the night. You know, we don't want to get them more anxious. Yeah. And I also think a really good thing is like just a really cool, a low pitched fist bump. This is where dads tend to be the best, because they're just like, right on, man. Excellent. And their pitch is much lower. And then like a fist bump, and then just move on with your day. Don't make it that big a deal.
Don't fixate on it, for sure. So another question is, what about constipation, having an no-poo schedule? We talked about that a little bit.
Let's dive into this a little bit more. You got to figure out if it's constipation or withholding. Constipation looks like a willing participant. Constipation, usually the child feels the sensation, has to go, sits, and nothing happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Withholding, you will know if you have a withholder. They'll be holding their butt. They typically don't want to sit on the potty. It will be a long time. If you have, don't get a couple of poops the first couple of days. That's not a big deal, but you'll start to know withholding will look a little scary to you, a little tragic. Whereas constipation, you're like, oh no. So very first thing is ascertain, are you dealing with constipation or withholding? Because they're both really prevalent in potty training. Constipation, again, we go to fat, not fiber. So many parents go to fiber, but kids don't. Like if you and I eat fiber to poop, we know we have to drink X amount of water. You can't do that with a kid. So the fiber will get backed up. The fat just greases the wheels and helps it come out nice and smooth.
Right. No, for sure. Yeah. So she talked about the no poo schedule, which we also just spoke about, how it's not a consistent time during the day. My son, before he goes for a bath or shower, he uses the toilet. It's just, we know that's coming. But with my daughter, like we said before, it's just kind of whenever she has to go, which could be multiple times a day. So this person also is experiencing that as well, which you already talked about. Only will poop in diaper and scared of toilet, which you also touched upon.
That's the pooping solutions course, 100%.
Okay. And then a big theme that I'm finding is, and again, with me, with my two children, this is again, personal preference. I didn't toilet train them for night times or nap times while I toilet train them during the day. I just love sleep too much and didn't want to cross that bridge. But it seems like people who are in a similar situation where they're not toilet training at nighttime, that's when their child's in a pull-up or a diaper, and that's when they're most comfortable, and that's when they're releasing their poos. So would you just suggest that they kind of rip off the bandaid altogether then if they're just pooing in their diaper?
I would suggest a couple of things. Number one, I think the bigger thing is to be really honest with yourself. But if you're going to be honest with yourself, you have to look at both the good and the bad of your honesty and what your goals are. If you like sleep and you don't want a night train, totally fine. I have no judgment on that. If you're going to use the thing that your child has used their entire life for pee and poop at night, totally fine. And if you expect them not to use that for the thing that it's meant for, that's where the glitch is. So that's the adult in the room not being honest with themselves. And you can't have it both ways. You can't be like, here's your diaper because mommy wants to sleep, but you can't do that because mommy doesn't like that. And I don't have any judgment about it, but this is where parents come to me and I was like, what would you like me to do? Go there and get my hand up your child's rectum? Like, I can't make them poop. Yeah. Now, that being said, if this goes on, there's the wiggle room. You potty trained at an appropriate age. Your kids are 2.5. Now, if your kid's 3.5 and they can't get into kindergarten, now we're talking about a different scenario. You need to literally shit or get off the pot, you as the parent. And so the very first step would be to take the night diaper off. See what you have. So it looks like your child's holding for nighttime, right?
Mine is, yeah.
But you don't know that because they have the diaper. So when you take the diaper away, we say, oh, once we take that diaper away, some kids are like, okay, I'll just go on the potty. Great. And then other kids are like, oh, hell no, I'm never pooping again. That's a withholder. Now you have a withholder. Now we know what we're dealing with. Yes. And if you really are committed to not, now listen, you need to night train by 4. You have to night train by 4. The bladder's being formed. If it's not formed without holding and consolidating, you have a 50% chance of having a bedwetter. And that is from the Pediatric Journal of Urology. That's not me. That's a study. So it has to be done. And if you get to a later age and the child's still just pooping in their diaper, but you still don't want to take the diaper off, that's your prerogative. But then you want to look at my pooping solutions and you want to get them pooping during the day.
Yeah. So just to this, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can do either way, but I think the harder thing to really look at is you can't have it both ways. You can't put a diaper on them and expect them not to use it.
Right. So the people who are having these issues, there's quite a few people who are having the same issue of pooing in the diaper, but then like, how do we stop that? So just rip off the diaper. Like, do not have them be in a diaper. Yeah.
Take off the diaper and then figure out what you have. Now, I will preface that to say there's all different kind of scenarios. So if your child is in distress, what I'll get is kids who are literally holding it for their diaper. So it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they're like, time for bed. I need to go to bed, which is cue for I need a diaper, right? So if they're holding it or they're in massive distress, like they can't focus, they're lethargic, they're clearly holding their poop till they get a diaper, or they are requesting a diaper, I want to be very, very clear. This is a nightmare situation. I can fix almost anything. When this goes on for a long time, this can go on till the child's 8 or 9 years old and they can get kicked out of school. It's a nightmare. Do not give a diaper upon request to poop in. If you are doing that, stop and get my pooping solutions like right now.
Yeah. And Spikes, my daughter did that at the beginning stages. She said to us, time for bed. I want to have a schluffy. And I'm like, what? Like, she never asked to go to the bed, But it's because she wanted her diaper. And it's completely, and that's the thing, is like there was one day, I think it was the second day, because the honeymoon was over. It was all novel to her. It was all new. The second day came and she was like, I want my diapers back. And I said, you're not having your diapers back.
She's like, enough of this nonsense.
Yeah, really. It's like when they go to school, when they go to kindergarten in the States, it's like, oh, we're here every day. Like, this is not a one-time thing. So same thing with potty training. It's an everyday thing. So with her, and she is the child who will just, she doesn't get over things so quickly. So she was just having him out there. And I was so close to putting her in a diaper. And I'm like, no, I can't do it, because if I do that, it's just going to, everything I'm working towards is just going down the drain. So I completely understand that also, where it's like, we obviously want them to be comfortable, but this is a milestone that has to be met. And like you said, if we wait too long, it can just get a little bit tricky. And with my son, even though I had him in pull-ups, like I potty trained him when he was 2.5, and then I let him use pull-ups at nighttime and he became dry and then took off the pull-ups. And luckily he's also a camel. Both my kids are kind of camels, but he was fine. So, and that was before he turned 4. But that's, again, it's you know, people who are going to kindergarten in Canada, where they might be 3 years old still and they're still in pull-ups, you just want to kind of get that underway before your kids go to kindergarten.
Yeah, good for the daytime for sure. And then for nighttime, I think it really just depends too. There's like, if you're in the beginning, if you're in the first month of potty training and they're pooping in their night or nap diaper, give it time. Let it shake out a little before you worry about it. You know, we want to look at it if it's longer term. And if the child, again, if your child is like half pooping on the potty and half pooping in their night diaper, I wouldn't worry about that at all. But I would worry about it when there's no poops. It's gone on for a really long time. Your child's getting older. That's when you want to start looking at it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But again, like at the first couple of weeks, I'm like, just relax. You don't have to do it all right away. That's why I separate out the night and the nap. But again, don't have the expectation that you're going to put a diaper on and the child's not going to use it.
For sure. For sure. For sure. Yeah. So those are all of those. Those are all the questions that I had that came in. And I refer everyone to your account and everyone to your book because I really think it's super beneficial. And it's really what I love about it is that you can go back and revisit the information. Like it's a quick, super easy read. But then when you get to a certain stage, like if you have pooing issues, you go back to those chapters, which is great to have.
I don't know if you listened to yesterday's podcast, probably not. Did you hear my big news?
No.
In May, I signed a deal for the 10th anniversary rewrite.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's so wicked exciting.
So why do you have to rewrite the book is the question.
Well, to make it more relevant, at least 3 times a week, somebody contacts me to let me know that it's not 1950 and dads are helping out with potty training. And I'm like, okay, here's your fucking gold star. It irritates me to no end, but no. And I have 10 years of full-time client work experience. I mean, I learn things every day, which is why I have a blog and Instagram and a podcast. So a book in print is written in stone. So yeah, so I spent the summer rewriting it. Yeah, it's going to come out May 24th.
That's the thing. I was like, even your initial book, like, I mean, how old is it? 10 years, you said?
Well, the book itself is older. So I wrote it in 2009. Simon & Schuster bought it in 2014. So that's when it was published.
But even this book, like if you're, do not wait for the next copy to come out. If you're starting now, get this initial book and.
Oh yeah. 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 Get the book. Get the book.
But yeah, no, it's great. It's always great that you're able to evolve it. Fantastic. That's fantastic news. And again, like, 95% of people that I speak to have used your method successfully, and it's a no-brainer. So thank you for everything that you do.
Before you hang up, I wanted to go back to one more thing about the praise, because there's another thing that's happening right now, really, really prevalent. So yes, it's great to say you're proud of your children, but again, it's far better to reflect back what has happened. Like either that was a really big pee or, oh, that was a little pee. Maybe you'll need to go again and reflect back. You must be proud of yourself. So when we say we're proud of our kids, they can get perfectionistic, but there's also a new thing where we're inadvertently putting our emotions on our kids. So kids will be like, I pooped in my diaper. Are you sad, mommy? Are you sad? We don't want to enmesh with our kids that way. And it's getting something changed where I think we're using maybe we're trying to make our kids more emotionally literate, that we use so many feeling words, but we're putting our feelings on them. And then they feel like that's how you create a people pleaser. You don't want to do that. You don't want your kid to like, your child, nobody controls your emotions but you.
And this thing is, when I was talking to people about toilet training, when they're in the same situation as me, I said, the biggest thing is if they have these accidents or peeing, pooing on the floor, it's a teaching tool. It's not, oh, you did that. I'm upset with you. That was very bad. I say, oh, I noticed this is what happened. Let's try going on the potty next time, or let's try doing it now. So I completely agree. Praise is not what it used to be. It's praise as in we acknowledge what happened and giving them that ownership of this is what you did. And how do you feel? And my daughter actually says to me, I feel so much better. Like she's also, again, her like, what's it called? I'm blanking right now.
It's like emotional intelligence. Yeah.
Emotional intelligence is a little bit higher where she'll say like, I feel better now. Like she had pooed on the toilet.
There's interoception too, which is like the four, like there's proprioception, vestibular motions, and interoception is the ability to connect those feelings with words.
Right. And the biggest thing before we go also is when your children are going to kindergarten as a teacher, especially in Canada, is they are expected to wipe their own bottoms when they use a toilet. So they're A, supposed to be able to tell you go when they have to go. There's no coaching from the teacher. There's no prompting. They go on their own and then they have to be able to wipe their bottom by themselves because teachers in Canada are not permitted to wipe children's bottoms. We do have early childhood educators who are allowed to assist when necessary, but it's not their job. That's not their role in the classroom. Parents who are sending their kids to kindergarten, again, this is in Canada, But I think also in the States, because they're 4 and 5 years old, you said it, in the States when they go to kindergarten.
There's 5 or 6.
5 or 6, yeah. They need to be able to wipe themselves.
Yeah, but 5 or 6 is appropriate for wiping. So the problem with wiping is often logistics. It's literally arm length. Have you seen that video that floats around? It's like a mom with a baby in between her legs. And they say, put your arms like in a circle around your head. And then you put a baby's arms in a circle around their head. And they can't even touch, right? Because their arms don't go. So a lot of times their arms just aren't long enough. So my biggest thing is just, if there's skid marks, it's not an accident. The child probably did the best thing they could. I think it's insane to ask a 3 or 4 year old to actually wipe and wipe well. It's just not going to happen. But what you can do at home is you teach, same way brushing teeth. Have your child try it, and then you be the cleanup crew. Like, I've worked with so many different bodies. This is too much information, but that's what I do. Some people's ass cracks are really deep. They're really deep. And like, you got to figure out where that anus is. You got to get in there. And other people aren't. And so your child has no idea where they're going for because they can't see it. Don't get a mirror. Don't get obsessed with it, because I've seen kids go wacky OCD the other direction. But you'll see, when you teach them to wipe their butt, they're usually right on their butt cheek. They're not even close to where they need to be. So they take a turn, you take a turn. So they're acclimated with the process. But then just be aware that there might be skid marks, and it sucks.
Completely. And like, that's the thing is, I always say to the, you know, in my crash course, I say, like, we don't get privacy anyways. So what's the difference? They're in the washroom with you all the time when you're on the toilet. So like, showing is knowing. But it's a whole skill. It's scaffolding. It's guiding. It's leading them. It's letting them try to do it independently. It's cleaning up after them. So it's definitely a skill that, as teachers, before I became a parent, I never really considered. But then once I became a parent, I thought, okay, no, this is a skill that he has to do independently. If your kid's going to kindergarten, definitely do that within the next few weeks before they start.
I think the biggest thing is, like I said, you want them acclimated, even if they don't do a good job. Yeah, I have a friend, her 7-year-old used to be like, Mom, go wipe my butt. Like, you just don't want them in that stage. You want them in like, no, I got this, even if they do a really crappy job.
Okay, no pun intended. But also, I did that with my son before he started kindergarten. We did the whole process. Like, it's like a whole 5-step process of actually teaching how to wipe your own bottom. And when I did that with him, he went to kindergarten and he then would come home and he would say that I pooed and I did it by myself. So it's like, we just need to kind of let go and give them that ownership and responsibility and hope for the best. And listen, accidents happen all the time. It's okay. But just giving them those skills is super important.
Yes, ma'am.
Alrighty. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
A great conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for being here.
And let me know when it's ready, and then I'll tell everyone to tune in.
Will do. All right, you guys, as always, we appreciate you. Rock on.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.